Following programs, views, claims, and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. This is our first program today and I hope you'll enjoy it. If you've been listening to us on Sunday nights at 11 o'clock here on this station, you're familiar with the format, but for those of us that those of you that haven't heard us before, we do a live call-in format with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, and we'd love to have you join with us. Our toll-free phone numbers are 888-677-7693, and we'll get you on the air there. I'm sorry, that's 9673, and that's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air. Live with Pastor Al here this afternoon with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for giving us the opportunity to be on the air here again this afternoon. And we just pray that you bless the program, use it for your glory, help us to point people to Christ here. And we just give you the honor and glory for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're glad to be able to be on, and of course, Live with Pastor Al is a program sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I am the pastor, and so that's where we get the name from. And we're also sponsored by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. I mentioned those two again here a little bit later on in the program, but we've got our phone lines open. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call right now, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this afternoon. I just got to remind myself to move along a little faster here than I do at night on Sunday nights where we're on for an hour, and I certainly invite you to listen to us then. We talk about a little bit of everything. One of our catchphrases on the program is, who says you have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible? And that's because I very much believe that the Bible is true, that it's God's revealed truth to man. And because it comes from God, it's reliable, it's understandable, it's truthful. And you can ask questions about it. And people who don't like you to ask questions about the Bible, well, I take that as a warning flag. Not just the Bible, but any type of religious positions. You ought to be able to question it. If something is true, questioning it is not going to tarnish it. It's not going to take away from the truth. Now, I'm talking about honest questions. I'm not about the skeptic questions. The Bible talks about answering, you know, not answering a fool in his folly, lest you be like them. And but it also says to answer a fool in their folly so that they don't become wise in their own conceit. So you have to make the difference there, of course, between, the kind of questions that are done just to mock or belittle or things of that nature. And oftentimes people ask questions to give themselves reasons not to believe. But we believe that honest questions, people searching, the Bible has truth. One of the questions that comes up oftentimes is, how do you know that the Bible is true and say the Quran is not? And one little thing that I like to point to is, science verifies the Bible over and over. And we can get into that a little bit maybe in later shows and programs, but just a really quick example. The Quran, for instance, claims that the sun sets in a muddy spring. Now, some people say, well, that's not really what it means. Well, if you study it and you look at what Quranic scholars say, they say that the Quran meant that the sun sets in a muddy spring. And some people say, well, no, that's you're taking that out of context. They mean spiritual truths by that. Well, even Muhammad in the Hadith said the sun sets in a muddy spring. And in fact, the Quran claims that Alexander the Great heard about that. He went and he found it, and even found people living there. And somehow or another, it traveled through a subterranean passage and came up in the east in the morning. Now, here's my question. If the Quran, which is presented by Muslims as being the word of Allah, and it's supposed to be the most true book on earth, certainly in our day of space flight and things of that nature, we ought to be able to prove the Quranic statement that the sun sets in a muddy spring. And so far as I know, nobody has seen that happen yet. I've not seen any pictures on space.com of the sun shrinking down and going into a muddy spring, and National Geographic and Discover haven't done any specials on the people living around that spring. I would think if Alexander the Great could find it in his day, certainly we could find it today. Well, and people say, well, then the Bible's no better. Well, okay, let me turn to Psalm 19 here. Psalm 19, I like this psalm. This is good. The psalm says in Psalm 19, starting in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Now, let me pause there for a minute. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." And the firmament, that would be the substance, I guess you could say, of what space is composed of, the material elements and all that. But what it's saying is it declares the glory of God and shows his handiwork. And when it says, "Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge," that means all day long, all night long, we can look up in the sky when we see the sun, the moon, the stars, and the different things that we see in the night sky and in the daytime, we see evidence of God's hand at work. And it shows evidence that there's a creator. And creation, evolution, things of that nature is something that's one of my favorite topics to get into on occasion. And we absolutely understand that when we see evidence of intelligent design in something, in fact, there was one of the world's foremost atheist philosophers, Antony Flew, who died 90-some years of age. And a few years before he died, he became convinced that the universe shows an intelligent design, and he renounced his atheistic positions. He became a deist. Now, I have no reason to believe that he ever got saved, but he did embrace the fact that he believed that there was a creator, a supreme intelligence beyond behind everything that exists. And actually, if you read some books on physics, which I know as an independent fundamentalist Baptist, I'm not supposed to do that, but occasionally I stray and read a book on physics or something like that. But a lot of people and findings in physics today point to a somewhat of a supreme intellect that is essentially the first cause or the creator or something that has produced everything that is. And the reason more and more unsaved scientists and philosophers are arriving at these positions is because the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. They're seeing this evidence that cries out that there's a creator. And as a result, they're coming to the conclusion whatever he may be, he's a supreme intellect that's the first cause of everything. And so that's evidenced by Psalm 19. Now, why is this so much better than what the Quran says about the sun setting in a muddy spring? Well, it says there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So we see the general revelation of the world around us and God's creation. And he says, let's drop down here to verse 4 in Psalm 19. "Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun." Now, tabernacle is an interesting word there, because a tabernacle is kind of a dwelling place or a shelter. And, you know, we're in the Milky Way galaxy, and where is the tabernacle for the sun? Well, it's in one of the spiral arms of the Milky Way galaxy at the center of our solar system. The sun doesn't wander out by Venus. It doesn't wander in, somewhere different areas. It's got a set place that it dwells in the Milky Way galaxy out in the spiral arm that it's set in. at the center of our solar system. And it says, which as a bridegroom, talking about the sun again, cometh out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. And you say, okay, Pastor Al, I got you there. The sun doesn't revolve around. We revolve around the sun. What is that saying? Well, if you take the time to look into this, you'll find that astronomers tell us the sun is moving at about 13 miles a second around the galaxy's center. We're a spiral galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, and it's revolving. And the sun is moving at about 13 miles a second around the galaxy center. Sounds like it's running a great circuit, doesn't it? It sounds like it's running a circuit from the end of heaven unto the ends of it. A circuit's a big circle, and it certainly is. It's running a race along with billions of other stars in our solar system that are revolving around the galactic circle. Everybody's getting worried about December 2012 because the Mayan calendar ended at that date, and that must mean the world is going to end. And after all, the Earth is going to be lined up, our sun's going to be lined up with the galactic center at that time. Well, if you're worried about December 2012, let me remind you that the sun and the Earth are right now lined up with the galactic center because we're orbiting like if you look at a bicycle tire and you look at any spot on the tire where the spokes come out from the axle and they come out to the rim, any one of those spots are lined up with the center because they're revolving around the center. And of course, I think they're more worried that the sun and the planets are going to line up in a line all together with the galactic center, and the combined forces of gravity is going to unearth continents and things of that nature and wreak general havoc. And the problem with that is the combined gravity forces of all the planets in the sun compared to the galactic center is kind of like thinking of the gravity from the mass of my pen that's sitting on the table in front of me here compared to the gravity that the sun is exerting on me, or the gravity more likely that the Earth is exerting on me, because gravity is more powerfully felt at closer distances than longer distances. But and if you're worried about December the 21st, I think is the date they're worried about, they found recently a whole building full of Mayan calendars that go way beyond, some I think 7,000 years beyond 2012, so not much to worry about there. But the Bible picturing the sun going at in a great circuit around the ends of the earth, or I'm sorry, the ends of heaven, absolutely illustrates what we see in science, in reality, with the sun moving around the galactic center at 13 miles an hour, approximately. And I would say that God's revelation here to David in Psalm 19 is certainly a lot more accurate than the false angel that made revelations to Muhammad about the sun shrinking down and fitting into a muddy stream and going through a subterranean channel and popping out on the other side every night. And so again, we look at the two there, we compare what we see in the world around us, we can ask questions, and we find that the Bible withstands the questions, the Quran doesn't, and on the basis of just that one thing alone there's many others, we would say, well, I think I'll believe the Bible. It makes sense to believe the Bible. And that's kind of what our program, Live with Pastor Al, is about. We want you to understand it makes sense to believe God's Word. God's Word is not just a combination of myths and fiction strung together, legends and things of that nature, but it's actual truth. It's God's truth revealed to us for our benefit. And of course, the primary benefit is so that it can do something that the truth illustrated by the sun, the moon, and the stars can't do. The sun and the moon and the stars illustrate that there's a creator, but they don't tell us who the creator is. And for that, we need specific revelation, and that specific revelation is God's Word, the Bible, which has been preserved for us here. We have it in the English language here. I have a King James 1611 King James here in front of me, and that preserves God's truth so that I can know who the true Savior or who the true God is, and not only so I can know who He is, but how I can know how I can have a relationship with Him. And a lot of people don't want there to be a God because they're worried. In a forest biology class that I had at Colorado State University back in the early 80s, a professor who was not a Christian, he said that he believed in evolution because the only other alternative was special creation. He didn't want that because that would mean that there was a creator. And he didn't want to admit that he had a responsibility to look at his relationship with that creator. And we want people to understand, yes, there is a creator. That creator is the God of the Bible, and He's revealed Himself to us through the Word of God. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. And so as we explore the Word of God, we find out that that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and that Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross where He suffered and died in our place to pay for our sins. And in doing so, He shed His blood to pay for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death, so that we can be forgiven of our sin and have a home in heaven with Him for all eternity. Now, again, as I said, this is Live with Pastor Al, and we are on until 2 o'clock today. And if you enjoy the program, why don't you join us Sunday night for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, which will come on at 11 o'clock and go till midnight on Sunday night. And we do the same thing on our Late Night Live with Pastor Al program. And if that's too late for you, let me encourage you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. If you'd like to continue the conversation, you can join us for our Friday night Bible study just this evening, or not just this evening, but on Friday nights. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express in Richfield, Ohio at 5171 Brecksville Road, and that's Northern Summit County, right where Interstate 77 and Interstate 80, the Ohio Turnpike cross. And we'll be there tonight, 7 p.m. goes till 9 p.m. If you can't stay the whole 2 hours, that's fine. But we'd enjoy having you there. Or you can visit us Sunday morning at 11, morning service at 11, evening service at 6 p.m. And we'd love to have you come out and visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And of course, you can give us a call if you want, if you got a question, 888-677-9673 will get you on the air. That's toll free, 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And we've been talking about the things happening in the Middle East lately, and I want to remind you to keep praying for the situation over there. Country of Iran came out earlier in the week, I believe it was, announcing that that not only do they believe that Israel should be destroyed as a Jewish state and all the Jews removed from the Middle East, they've also now said that they're the country to do it. And they were boasting now that the United States has abandoned Israel. And, of course, we have a president right now who's probably been the least favorable to the nation of Israel in probably our country's history. And so they're looking at that. And Israel, of course, is considering a military strike on the Iranian nuclear program. And, of course, there's fear that Iran might try to spark something to try to preempt that strike. And they're trying to drive a wedge between Israel and the United States, and remind you that at least four times in the Old Testament, and I think I can come up with another one, the Bible basically says that God will bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And as you study the history of the United States, you find out that no nation in the world has ever been more blessed of God, really, than we have. And I think no nation in the world has ever blessed and encouraged the Jewish people as much as we have. And God has blessed us for it. Unfortunately, in recent years, we have been more turning against Israel. We have been sort of abandoning them. And certainly the current president with his Muslim roots tends to be more favorable to Islamic interests than he does to the nation of Israel. So we need to pray for that. And we need to pray that God would protect the nation there. And of course, we know from Scripture there's a number of things that are going to be taking place in Israel in probably the near future, possibly nearer than we think. And people, of course, wonder every time something happens in the Middle East, could that be the prelude to the Ezekiel 38 and 39 prophesied invasion of Israel? And there's a coalition there. In fact, we have been talking about that extensively at our Friday night Bible study, and you're invited to come to that and continue the conversation on that subject. But one of the things that we've been looking at with the prophecy that Ezekiel has of a coming coalition that I believe will be led by Russia, and that's because Ezekiel 38, we see the coalition Gog and the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And that would correspond into that area of Russia, Ukraine, some of the Central Asian portions that used to belong to the old Soviet Union. And they're allied with Persia, which would be Iran, and Ethiopia, which in Ezekiel's day was the area to the west of Egypt. And I'm sorry, I meant to say Libya there. And Ethiopia would be the area to the south of where about the Anwar Dam is on the Nile River today. That area in there was generally known as Ethiopia, and that would include, of course, today Ethiopia, Somalia, places like that. And then you have Gomer and Togarma, and which brings in Turkey and Armenia and Central Asian Republic of Georgia and perhaps some of the Baltic states and getting into some of the Central European states. And they have a plan to invade Israel. And in Ezekiel 38 and verse number 11, they describe Israel as a land of unwalled villages. It says, thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. And people wonder, is this in Ezekiel 38, what's happening in the Middle East today with talks about war between Iran and Israel, talks about Egypt with the Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamic fundamentalist groups taking control of Egypt and getting ready to tear up the peace accord with Israel, and Israel's preparing for a greater threat on their border with Egypt. And then, of course, there's a thought that Assad in Syria, in an effort to consolidate support behind him in his country, might make an attack against Israel. And all these things come together. Israel is anything but a land of unwalled villages. It's anything but a land where people are at rest, dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates. And something's got to happen. And we don't have time to get into it today, but the Bible does show that some of the areas around Israel are going to suffer some immense desolation and destruction and not be habitable. And it sounds like the possibility of a limited regional nuclear war. But we're about out of time here this afternoon, and we'll pick up this stream maybe again next week. And we'd certainly encourage you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, meeting at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And also check out Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques is located at 6668 Royalton Road, right in the center of North Royalton. That's State Route 82. And you can call Frank's Antiques at 440-237-4393. And again, tune in next week for another edition of Live with Pastor Al. And good afternoon. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church this Sunday at 11 a.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at bbc.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, and